today is Thursday, September 9th, 2021. It is 9 a.m. at the Board of County Commissioners meeting in the via Zoom for a county administration workshop. Got a pretty good sized agenda today, so we'll get started right in on it. Item number one under department business is 1A is transit. 1A1 is transit hub restroom purchase. Scott Chancy, transit program supervisor, is on. And this is regarding whether to, we've kind of agreed to put in public restrooms at our transit hub to serve the public. I'm more of our rider public than anything else. Let's have what you have on here. I've read through this, Scott, but I'm going to let you go ahead and take the floor on it.
Sorry for the delay. Thank you. That was pretty succinct. So, yes, that's where we're at. We have two options. We can purchase a prefabricated restroom, in which would be two, or we can build a traditional structure for considerably less money up front. My recommendation is that we go with the prefab unit, and then there's a couple of reasons why. Granted, it is more expensive, but if you amortize that cost over the life of the product, expected life cycle of the product, it's about $5,000 a year, based on personal experience and discussions with other agencies with traditional restroom facilities at a transit location. I anticipate we'll easily go through that $5,000 cushion every single year, easily, and repairs, as well as the additional staff time that it's going to take to monitor the situation or monitor the restrooms use themselves. The main benefit that I'm looking at with the prefab unit is being able to see the activity inside the facility because it is open from the bottom. Or there's slats, it's not open, there's slats, so you can see if there's anybody in there. That's the main reason. And then the overall durability of the unit. So I know from experience that if we do a traditional building, there's going to be damage to the interior because, one, you can't see what's going on. There could be vandalism, things like that. The other advantage with the prefabricated units is we have limited parking at the facility or at the proposed site. And the prefab unit is going to eliminate one parking space, and if we go with the traditional unit, it's going to eliminate at least two, possibly three, depending on what the development requirements would be from the city if grants pass. So that's pretty much my opinion, and like I said, I think some of the best proof of support for my opinion would be the Rogue Valley Transportation District has also decided to purchase a prefabricated unit and put it at their transit hub facility in downtown Medford. I'd like to point out that they have a traditional built restroom facility, and they are now moving to the prefabricated unit because of the issues that they have observed over the past 20 years operating their facility. So that's kind of the best supporting evidence that I have. With the prefab unit, there is no interior sink. It's a toilet only. And we can have the pipes and all of the support infrastructure is inside the wall, so it's not exposed. And then there's a hand wash facility or unit outside the unit itself. So from a passenger perspective, a passenger can see if there's somebody in there before they go to open the door. It isn't super inviting. So it's essentially made for what it was built for, and that is a public restroom and no other use. It will be located across the parking lot from our customer service facility, and that also provides the opens at the bottom and being able to see, provides them the opportunity to see over there, glance and look and see if there's somebody in there. The last thing I want or I need is for my staff having to constantly monitor what's going on with the facility if they can't see inside it. So, like I said, that's my recommendation. That granted, it is more expensive. The funds are available in the existing grants that we have for this facility. So that's not necessarily a large issue in my mind. The biggest thing for me is, one, can I cover the local match? And the answer is yes. And two, long term, I think that this is going to be a least expensive option and easier to monitor.
Any questions for commissioners?
No, I have none.
No, got it. Just comments.
I've got a bunch of them. So why are we insisting on a standalone building for a public restroom? Why is it not built into the transit hub itself with exterior doors? Just build it on, just add 8 more feet or whatever you need to do to that footprint, which is not a full parking spot, and put 2 restrooms on. I haven't seen the plan. I have not seen the plan. I don't want to micromanage here, but I want to maybe interject a little what's going to come back from the public. And you mentioned that it's $5,000 a year, and we'll eat that up. Well, if you put those 2 restrooms into the structure, I think the outside is between $40,000 and $60,000 to build 2 restrooms, public restrooms, and then it's $268,000 for the loos. So $200,000 at $5,000 a year is roughly 40 years. Or no, 20 years. Well, more than that, 40 years. And I don't know where the return on investment is. And to think that nobody's going to vandalize these because they're called a Portland Loo, I think you're wrong. Vandalism is vandalism. I don't care what you do. Vandalism is going to be vandalism. And you have to stand alone out there in the parking lot. And it's going to be a problem. And Darren shaking his head, no, I guess he's, I don't know what vandalism means to Darren, but vandalism, vandalism. And I envision having metal doors on there, and if you want to use the public restroom, you're going to get a key, and you use the key, and it says occupied or not occupied. You know, pretty simple stuff. It's done all over the place. Portland Loos are kind of the new quiche way of doing things. So that's why I liken this to the bus stops downtown. I liken it. It's the exact same smell to it to me. That it's something that we want to kind of go that way. And Medford's saying they're going to do it. Then I don't know why they're going to do it, but you say it's because they get too much vandalism and whatnot downtown. I might call a commissioner to find out if that's absolutely right, or if it's just, gee, we're going to have to blow the floor up and put all the plumbing in. And where does the plumbing go? You say the plumbing's in the wall. To where? Does it go into the city sewer system? Does it have to be pumped every day? Is this just a glorified outhouse, is what it sounds like to me? Are they made of plastic?
So the last question, so it hooks into the existing sewer system. So okay. it would have a tie into that. No.
And you have in your building, you have a sewer system there, so you're putting 2 spigots over for the sewer into the same building, and with these you're running clear across Sparkle.
There's going to be a sewer connection on that side of that lot anyway. So now as far as your question to the existing building, I don't think that there's enough room to put additional restrooms on that building.
I've never seen the layout, so I can't even advise you on that. I've never seen the layout of where it's going to be on the parking lot. I've never seen a layout of what the building's going to look like on the not. I don't want to see where you're going to hang pictures, but how many offices are in there and what they're for. I've never seen any layout whatsoever on it.
Yeah, we saw the layout like 2 years ago, Dan. It's just
2 years ago, but it's changed.
It's been that long. And these Portland Loos have a 20-year history of being so much more resistant to vandalism. That's why Medford's going to them, because they don't get vandalized. They stand up way better than a concrete building. And the privacy factor is absolutely true. If you want to go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom. Don't go in there to do anything that a transient person would do or anything nefarious. These are made just to go to the bathroom. They will outlast any building you can build. And it's been proven over the last 20 years. And so I don't understand the hesitancy. We've been talking about this for almost a year.
Right, and I've been against it for since it ever started. As soon as we had the Portland Lou discussion, I'm all for public restrooms. Don't get me wrong. I was in favor of public restrooms. I still am. I think that if you're going to ride the bus all the way from Illinois Valley to here, then we should provide a place for you to, you know, tidy up and relieve yourself when you get here. And that wasn't even in the mix until we demanded that be something to put in there. And that was fought tooth and nail. And now that we're going to have this, now all of a sudden I've never been for the Portland Loop. I don't agree with the concept. There's open at the bottom and open at the top. That's kind of strange in my way of thinking, but you know, I don't know. This is not like it is a Manzanita rest area where it's going to get all that much traffic all day long. I can't see it as being a real maintenance headache. I talked to Ryan Johnson. Can it be clean right along with everything else? Yep, absolutely. There's two more restrooms to clean. Not a big deal. And I worked in a gas station for I don't know how many years with two public restrooms with a door that's shut. A conventional restroom, and I worked there, I never did see it vandalized, torn up, and have to replace everything and retile it every checkup. So I'm not in favor of the Portland Loop. And that's just that up. And I would like to see, I would like to have Scott, you know, you could bring it in to me and show me exactly what your finished product is going to be. Because 2 years ago, this public restroom wasn't even on the radar 2 years ago. It was absolutely no. We're not doing that. And now that we're going to the public restroom thing, I need to see more than what I've seen so far. And because the city is going to put three of them downtown, and we're going to get two of them, and we're going to save a 5%, they're going to get a 5% discount because we're going to spend $200,000 more than we need to, that's not a return on investment for me. So that's just my own personal opinion. Commissioner Bertrand, you have your pencil in here.
So yesterday I had a discussion with Councillor Riker, and they have put out some porta potties, which certainly aren't the Portland Loo, but the experience with the city porta potties have been absolutely horrible. They have been vandalized. Listen, I don't even think you can get anybody to clean them. That's how bad they are. And the Portland Loo, in my opinion, is nothing more than a extravagant porta potty. I am worried about that. I think the smart thing to do is not get in a hurry. Let the city put out these Portland Loos, and then let us watch, see what happens. If they work out, then we can do it. If it doesn't work out, then we've probably made a good decision. That would be my suggestion.
How long has Bedford got their loos installed yet?
So it's not the city of Medford. It's the Rogue Valley Transportation.
Right. Area. Okay. As the transit authority installed their loos.
I haven't asked them if they have them installed yet.
They're I just wonder if they had any history.
So their history is also my history, and it's experience dealing with the traditional facility, two bathroom facilities that are 20 feet away from their customer service window. So I've firsthand experienced the difficulties that were presented with that situation, and that was over 12 years ago. So that situation has only deteriorated to the point that they have the option of keeping their facilities open during normal business hours, or they're going to keep them open for certain hours and then utilize one Portland Loo or one prefabricated unit for the rest of that time. And that's what they've chose to do. I do know from personal experience that there was internal discussion of actually closing their traditional restrooms at one point, and they realized that that wasn't an option. Now, to Commissioner Bertschager's point, it would be great to be able to wait, but we can't. We would have to make the decision and say, no, we're not going to install any restrooms at this time. And if we do that, then there's going to be, one, either the project stops, or two, we move forward without the restrooms in place, but then whatever we decide to do in the future, then we're going to have to dig up the concrete and reset all of the infrastructure to accommodate them at a future date. And it would be easier to do that just from the start. And then my last point, and I know the shelter issue from years back left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth, but I don't consider that a similar incident as this. And the reason is because the shelter cost escalation had to do with engineering and environmental requirements, not with the purchase or the cost of the purchase price of the product. And for example, I put in a shelter immediately after that, and it was less than a quarter of the cost of that shelter project done by the city, and it was because I knew how to do that. So I do not look at this as a apple-to-apple comparison. Granted, they are more expensive, but I think, and again, it's well worth it, because what you give up right now in expense, you're going to make up in advantages in operating them long-term. Now, as far as the site plan is concerned, the only thing that's changed from the original plan is on the, as you might recall, there was a building on one lot, and that was our office facility and customer service area, and then the other side was nothing but parking. So the restroom addition is going on that empty lot, or that lot that just normally had design parking. So it's the lot that's closest to E Street, and the building's on the D Street side. So that's the only thing that's changed. And again, looking at the original design, I do not think there's enough room on the existing building, proposed building, to accommodate two additional restroom facilities. The main reason for that is because there's an alleyway between both of those lots that needs to be remain open. That's a city requirement. So then my option would be, do I allow the general public to access through an outside door or redesign the same restroom facilities that I have basically set aside for my employees? And for various reasons, I don't think that's a good idea at all, especially when you're considering a driver who is, I'm going to be most concerned about, is coming in off shift or in between runs and might only have 8 minutes. Now, for them to run in and then into a shared facility that might be full and have to not use the restroom for 8 minutes or not be able to is going to be an issue for me in my operations. So I think that covers so far what I've heard. And if it didn't, I'd be more than happy to continue.
Yes, Commissioner Fowler.
The City of Grants Pass also built a traditional brick-and-mortar toilet in Tusing Park, and they haven't been able to open it because of all the vandalism. They open it for a day, and then it's closed for a few weeks. All the other cities have seen that this traditional method doesn't work, doesn't pencil. It's not a glorified porta-potty. Those are about $1,000 a piece, and this one has been engineered and re-engineered over 10 years to be durable and last. And so that's why all the cities are going to. If we want to build a traditional one, you better put in a fat maintenance contract, because you're going to be fixing it in a few weeks.
Okay. First off, I think we are miles apart on what your expectation of your operating hours are. We've probably never had that discussion. You're talking about leaving it open all 24/7 and yada, yada, yada. And you just mentioned, well, we can't have to do this, we can't do that. I'm off kilter here. Either you're not listening to me or I'm not listening to you. Or you're not hearing what I say or I'm not hearing what you're saying. So you and I need to sit down and I need to convince him.
Well,
and right now I'm not convinced.
Talk to our professional. Talk to Ryan and talk to Scott.
I'll be glad. I wish both of them would come into my office. We'll go in the conference room. We'll put the mask on. We'll be inside the building. We'll do everything we need to do. And I want a drawing and plan. I don't want to micromanage, but I also don't want to do something that right now I'm sitting here 10 years later, well, more than that. And I do attend these to that they, I attend these. I cannot imagine that what I've seen in the Portland Loop costs $268,000. There is a heap of engineering in that also. There has to be. Because there isn't that many materials in there. It's like the homeless huts that they were going to build out of the corrugated plastic were $5,000 a piece. It required 3 4x8 sheets of corrugated plastic. 3. And you can buy those for $25 a piece from the sign maker. And I think, you know, okay, this is just because it's going to the government and because it's different and it's different than everybody else. And I need, maybe if this thing works, I need, maybe you can give me some references if the city of Eugene did it, if the city of Ashland did it. But I've never heard of a Portland Loo until probably a year and a half ago. It all of a sudden popped up, and I'm going to assume in Portland, whatever they have in Portland isn't lasting more than 10 minutes. And they're not going to take care of it because they're not going to take care of their city. So I don't care what you put up in Portland. They're going to tear it down. They have to try to tear down the federal building. So I'm just not convinced. And if this morning was going to convince me of it, everything that I suggested just got put by the wayside and right back to the exact same thing. We're back to square one, in my estimation. My questions haven't been answered.
We had this exact conversation about 6 weeks ago, and you did nothing to discover anything, so we're going to delay it again because you did nothing, Mr. Chair.
Yes, I did nothing. I want to be convinced. I want to see. Yes, Scott Chancy, please.
Thank you. Just for clarification, when I was talking about ours, I was talking about in reference to the Rogue Valley Transportation District and what they were doing in Medford. It was not in reference to our hours. So these are only...
These are logistics that I need to know. Are you going to keep that restroom open only when your buses are running and the hub is open? And then you're going to lock it up. And it's locked up. But you're not going to be able to lock this Portland Loop.
Yes, we will.
Can you crawl underneath the door?
No, you cannot. It's completely sealed. It's completely sealed in open air. I mean, it is as basic as you come in and you treat the concrete... So nothing can seep into it and be absorbed.
What are you doing? What are you doing after this meeting?
I'm going to come to your office if you want me to.
Bingo. Now we're on to something.
Okay.
We'll see if we get on to Ryan Johnson and we'll sit down. We'll sit there and have this discussion. I'm not sold. And if this is going to sell me on it for today, because it's on our workshop, it's on our administrative workshop to do something with this. And it looks like action item, it doesn't say what to do with it. It doesn't say to move it to the WBS or anything. So right now, we're still under the discussion stage. I know that there's some angst on this, angst on the part of the city because they want us on board with two of them so that they can get the 5% discount.
So the one and the
5%. Which is valuable, so am I.
The 5% discount is split between all parties based on what their purpose. So it's not just the city of Grants Pass.
No, but if we are not, it's a base of 5. If you don't order 5, you don't get the discount.
Correct. And we would be ordering 2, and they would be ordering 3.
And if we order together, we get 5, and we get a discount. But if we say no, then they will lose the 5%, just as we will lose the 5%.
And
if we're going to do it, we'll do it as 5. But I'm not convinced to do it as 5. I'm not convinced to do it at all.
Okay, so the purpose of this meeting was the two choices. Is to decide between the two choices. Obviously, I've heard from all 3 commissioners, so I don't know where we stand. But a decision needs to get made because this is holding up the construction of the transit pump. And that's been delayed considerably for various reasons. And the situation on 6th Street is not getting any better. So
let's put it on Tuesday's agenda, and we'll take...
I'm in favor of that.
Yep.
We'll put it on Tuesday's general session, December, for an act tonight coming out of that meeting, one way or the other. But I need more information, Scott, that I obviously haven't received, and I have not received adequate... I'm not sold. I haven't been sold. Yes, Trace, your bear trigger.
Scott, have you had an opportunity to visit the restrooms at Baker Park?
No, I have not.
Would you please take a moment and go down there? So, being in the active club and the race director for 15 or 17 years, whatever I was, my tenure started there. There was no restrooms at Baker Park. Then they built those restrooms, and I've watched those for over a decade. It's a block building. It's all concrete, steel roof, handicap accessible, steel doors, stainless steel fixtures inside. Those are open all the time, and the homeless use them quite a bit, and they do their best to destroy them, but they have not been destroyed in 10 or 12 years, however long they would be there. So I would take that opportunity to go look at that. There we have a set of restrooms that we know, I mean, that is a place that is unwatched. They have survived. We know they're easily cleaned and stuff, and I think that we should take a look at that because those restrooms have a long track record. So if you could take that opportunity, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, does no good to go look at them today. That's a snapshot. You got to get the maintenance records from the city, get how much that costs them.
I think we can all agree that the city parks has lost control of their park because they're in litigation. Their hands are tied as to what to do down there. And their idea, in fact, dealing with Bonick, we used to keep the restrooms open during Bonick, and they got to be such a headache during Bonick because of the volume of people down there using the public restroom. The active club then said, no, we'll just put in the blue rooms, and we'll pay for the blue rooms, and we'll just lock up the city's facility. Then the best thing they can ever do. But a park is a different situation than your ridership. Is a lot different than a park and a downtown restroom and a Baker Park and a Tussing Park or any of the other parks for that matter. I don't know what because there's a pretty good clientele going in and out of Reinhardt Park. Maybe we should get a hold of the parks, City of Grand Pass, see what their ideas are. And as Herman said, downtown they put in the blue rooms, or Rick Riker said, Councilor Riker said, they put in the blue rooms and that's a disaster. So I need just a little bit more, and I would appreciate having the next couple of days. I got a bunch on my plate because the demands for the COVID spending, the COVID money is all dropping down, and I'm working diligently on getting an advertising campaign together for that. And I got a lot on my plate. I really didn't need this, but I will certainly take a look at it because I've had some real issues with it. I have some concerns, and if those aren't answered, I don't know that I can have it move forward on this rail. That's all I got to say. I would just love to have it. So, Scott, please plan on what is a little kind of long meeting. We'll get on it right now so we get it done with, because I'm anxious to see you. And we'll let Wendy, if you could please get a hold of Ryan Johnson while he's on board there. Ryan, are you available after this meeting to meet with us?
Yeah, I can come. I can come by.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yep.
Anything else, Scott? If you're on board to be with us afterward, please bring all of your information, pictures, how this thing lays out, what the layout of the entire compound is going to be, and floor plan of your hub, of where your people are and what your hub is, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, definitely, and I will try to get to Baker Park beforehand because I'm very curious. I mean, if that's a facility that's been operating undamaged for the most part for 10 plus years, yeah, I would like to see what's going on down there. So, I'll do that and get everything and then come over.
Yeah, okay. We'll discuss it. So if you could do that, that's great. do that while we're finishing up this meeting. Okay, thank you, Scott. See you in a little bit. Item A2, agreement with the City of Grants Pass, developer installed agreement for public improvements for the transit hub. That's the move to the WBS. So we will shelf both of those until Tuesday. Does that make sense? Thank you. Item B, airports. Jason Davis, our airports director. One is contract with Mascot Equipment Company for a new Jet A aircraft fueling system equipment at the Grants Pass Airport. Jason, you're on board. Tell us what we've got there. This is a project, by the way, that's been another project that's been in the works for as long as I've been here. 4 years, it was a gee, we better do this quick, and now here we are 4 or 5 years later, and we're finally getting around to maybe, hopefully, let's get, tell us what our financing is, tell us where we stand, tell us some history on it, and go from there. Please, Jason.
Okay, so this is the first part of two for this project. The first part is basically the purchasing and installation of the equipment needed. So let me turn to the page. Base bid schedule number one is $131,053.68. That's for the purchase of the tank. And base bid schedule two is $164,343.81. That's for the pump skid. And so Mascot is going to spec this equipment, order it, and install it after the site prep is done. So the second part we're actually getting ready to bid for right now, just so you get the full picture, is going to be the site prep. So that's the next step. You guys will be seeing that here in the next couple of weeks. But we're here today just to talk about getting this contract signed so that Mascot can purchase the equipment. Right now, this part of the project is covered under the two core grants that we have. So we have two core grants for this project, each for $150,000, totaling $300,000. So this portion of the project is paid for. The rest of the project, we are hoping that ARPA will, we applied for an ARPA grant. We're hoping that we will get that. If not, then we have to just figure out how we're going to pay for the rest of the project.
Well, the rest of the project would be the subterranean tank. This does not include purchase of that tank at this time, correct? This is just above ground, right?
Yeah, so right now we're just talking about the new equipment. So
okay, and that will be the tank and the pumping station, the stand and everything, because this will move. Everything in the subterranean now will be above ground in the future.
Correct. So the second part of this project is going
to just be the site prep and the engineering for footings and so on and so forth.
Yeah, it'll be a removal of the old tank, decommissioning and removal of the old tank, and site prep of a storm drain system that actually has a spill catch system built into it, so no contaminants ever reach the waterways, or, you know, it's pretty robust enough to the current codes. So I guess what we're really looking for today is we move this to WBS. If you guys can't approve it today, I think we have to do it next week at WBS.
Well, I think it needs to go to WBS. It's a sizable purchase, and the public should have an opportunity to weigh in on it. You know, not that they're going to weigh in on it. So, okay, that sounds good. Any question from commissioners, Mr. Fowler?
Where is the money coming from?
So this is these are two core grants for this portion of the project. The rest of the project still needs to be funded. We have decided to move forward with the project. Hoping that
you have an application into the ARPA task force.
We do, yes, correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you.
Correct.
Yep.
Any no further questions? Then we'll just let's put this on for the next WBS next week. And if you can make yourself available, it'll be via Zoom. So just kind of stand by for that one.
Yes,
okay. Moving on to item number C, property management. Wally Hicks will make the presentation. This is item C1, is sale of county real property at 2792 Lower Wolf Creek Road. Land sale contract, memorandum of contract of sale. Quick claim deed from Josephine County to John David Jesse. This is a result of the fall of 2019 auction. Does it sound like did he use our easy budget payment program and now he wants to just pay that off?
Another success story on that level. That's right, Mr. Chairman.
You know, we keep seeing success stories on that loan program that we used to come in. You got to bring the cash in and put it on the table, or you don't get anything. And we set up that program a few years ago on by through Elaine and Augustus. Got this thing put together, I think, as the two principals from your office. And that thing has really opened it up. I think it's really opened it up to where more bidders can get involved. And they don't really have to. They have to put a certain amount down, percentage down, and then we'll carry the paper for a certain amount of time while they keep up with their payments and everything. At any time, they can just pay it off. And we've had some payoffs, some pretty serious payoffs on this program going in. So I would label it a success. I don't think we've had any foreclosures on it.
Less usual than the payoffs. I would say more payoffs than
way more payoffs than people that for some reason or another couldn't keep their financial obligations. So I think any questions from commissioners on this one? See, none from Urban, none from Commissioner Fowler, so I'd entertain a motion to approve the sale of county real property.
I'll make that motion.
And Herman's a second. Any further questions? I don't see any. So please call the roll.
Commissioner Fowler?
Yes.
Commissioner Merchiger?
Yes.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0.
And Mr. Chair?
Is that okay, Wally? You got anything? Yes?
That's good. There's going to be three documents this time. In addition to the deed, there's a corrected land sale contract, the property description in there. We discovered after the sale was inaccurate, so you're going to be signing that document as well, so you get that filed with the clerk and memorandum that's associated. So usually there's just one deed at this stage. There's going to be three documents today.
Okay. How soon do you need that? Is this something that you can have on our counter today?
Yes.
Okay, because I know Commissioner Merchiger's in the building, and maybe Commissioner Fowler, if he's out and about, might be able to swing in and sign. Okay, if we can get that signed today, gentlemen, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wally. Item 2, Finance Report Business Update. 2A is intent to award contract to North Star Contracting Group for Hazardous Materials Abatement Services. And I don't know who's carrying the water on this one.
Ryan and I are both here. This is
Ryan and Sandy.
This is the hospital demolition.
Okay.
For funding purposes, we have moved this into two different projects. This is the hazardous building material abatement piece, which will happen first. Once it's complete, we'll do the petroleum cleanup and demo. I don't see where Ryan. Oh, there's Ryan.
Why wouldn't the petroleum cleanup fall under hazardous materials abatement? Is that just asbestos and lead paint and things like that?
Well, the biggest issue with the rest of the petroleum cleanup is it exists underneath the building.
Oh, okay.
It leaked underneath the building, so we got to get it down.
So the building has to come down to gain access to the damage.
Yeah, and then there is some piping that will have to be accessed after the building or during demolition. But the majority of this work is your asbestos pile, your popcorn ceilings, lead paint, those type of things that got to be removed before we can tear it down.
Okay. When we get all done messing around with this, what type of EP or DEQ or EPA or what kind of certification are we going to get to clear that lot? In other words, you can get a no further action type of a thing. But if they dig around during construction and find another oil tank that we didn't know was down there, what kind of a certificate are we going to get?
Well, my thought is we should get a clean bill of health on this building because the research has went into it. They've removed multiple tanks. A lot of research and testing has went on. And once the building's down, they should be able to remove enough of the contaminated soil, or all of the contaminated soil, so we should be 100%. At least that's my thought.
But that's on the next contract because we're not
going
to come out. This
is just for hazardous materials in the existing building. We're not tearing down the building yet.
Yeah, okay. And then the exterior paint and windows are also included, and then the central plant, the bromine, the asbestos wrap steam pipes. all that's inclusive in this scope.
Okay. That bromide plant, is it in operation today?
No, it's not. And actually, I misspoke. That isn't part of the scope, but it's going to be taken care of at the same time. So,
okay. All right.
Yeah.
But that's dormant. It only bent the towers.
Correct.
Okay, so public health is not going to be affected?
No, it runs on a totally separate chiller.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Any questions from commissioners on this abatement? Okay. So I'll entertain a motion to approve the intent to award.
I'll be glad to make that motion.
I will second it.
Any further comments or questions?
I have none.
Okay. Seeing that, please call the roll.
Commissioner Feller?
Yes.
Commissioner Bearchigger?
Yes.
Commissioner Neal?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. Item 2B is ARPA, ARPA Business Relief. And I think, Sandy, this is yours.
Yes, it is, and we have so ready here. If you remember in June when we first started looking at ARPA funds, we were wondering what is going on with the businesses in the county, how are they doing, and we sent out a request to so ready to kind of work with IBCBO and SBDC to look at the health of the businesses and come back and let us know what we needed. And so Colleen Padilla is here from So Ready.
Colleen, welcome. Good to see you again.
Good morning. I want to check if you can hear me. I've got audio problems this week. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're a little sketchy, but I can hear you, yes.
Okay. Well, I can say that staff is also present, Kim and Amy, who is really the brains behind putting this together with Kenny at IBCDO. So they presented this information to your ARPA advisory committee yesterday, recommending several scenarios, which I believe you have, and that committee recommended scenario C. So that is, well, Kim, do you have that up yet? Can you speak on that since you're on the call right now?
I do. Give me just a moment. I can put those funding scenarios on the screen. We looked at a number of different applications, and then in our conversation yesterday with the task force, we talked about the different types of businesses that had applied, the gaps that were being met, and again, they recommended our scenario C, which is a payout of $7,500 for 0 to 5 employees, a payout of $2,500 for employers with 6 or more FTE.
Great, thank you. So that's what's been presented to you, Commissioner. So we'll just take questions if you have questions or need clarification.
Questions for commissioners. Commissioners?
Yes. Well, I'm not at this time right now. I've got to digest some of this a little bit.
We did promise that we would do a quick turnaround. The businesses were told that funding was going to happen based on a decision that would need to happen today, or else we will have to go back to the businesses and say that there will be a delay in the awards.
Don't paint us into a corner like that, please. And one of the things that I would like to ask is this, does this every year, now this is a two-year program, ARP is a two-year program, is this like a scenario C, total of $1.5 million, is that a million and 500,000 or 5,000 members, is that per year, or is that for the total of the ARPA funds is over a two-year period in the neighborhood of 18 million, so this would take 1 million out of the 18, or does this say we're going to do a million this year and we're going to do a million next year? I'm hoping that the businesses get back on their feet at some point in time, but that's entirely up to the state as to whether or not the businesses are going to survive or not. At this point in time, it is entirely up to the state. It's not up to us. We're just trying to shore up and keep them, basically throwing them a life preserver so maybe they can get by for another couple of months. But there's no guarantee that this is going to fix it. There may have to be more. I don't know. But why the different scenarios is is it seems to me that three should actually be higher than, oh, I see what it is. You took 2,500, the 6 plus employees went to 2,500, and on scenario B, 6 plus stayed at 5,000. Is that, and that's per employee? Is that what I'm hearing? And what, do you give that money to the business? What is the requirement of the business? What are they supposed to do with the money? Are they just there to say, I'm going to keep paying that employee so that when I reopen, he'll be there and ready to come back to work for me? And how has that been working out, Colleen? Do you know?
Well, I think that the your very first question you asked, please, Commissioner, was whether this is just for this year. As I understand it, this is just for this year, unless you, Commissioner, choose to do something later on. So one time thing, unless you choose to come in.
Okay, so it's not automatic. It's a 2 year, because we get paid in a 2 year thing. We get 8,000 and something and this year, or 8 million and 8 million next year. So if we're going to pony up $1 million right now, that's roughly 12% of what we're going to get is going to go out in this first jump. Okay, that's just what I'm making sure we're clear on that.
One time shot, and we're all very hopeful that this come back around and things start to look a little bit better. In terms of the use of funds, I'm going to allow Kim to respond to that, because it really is for business expenses, not for anything else. So, Kim, can you elaborate on that?
Correct. As a part of the application, businesses were given some ideas of what would be eligible costs. They must be used for business purposes only, and they must also certify that they are open or intend to remain open or reopen in the near future. We have reserved the right to go in and audit some of their documentation and make sure that they're spending funds appropriately. But at this point, we're really just hoping that it keeps the businesses open and helps them retain their employees.
Commissioner Bircher.
So one of the things that have been bothering me with these grants because of COVID is I think the intent, and Colleen, tell me if I'm wrong, the intent is to help businesses that were adversely affected by the COVID pandemic. That is the intent, correct?
That is correct.
So, and that is the intent for the PPP loans. And as I go through tracking the PPP loans, and you can do this with trackingpploans.com, and you can go and look at everybody. And a good example was what was just in the Courier. The Daily Courier got 2 PPP loans for about $900,000. And I scratched my head to see why were they adversely affected through COVID, since they never missed a paper, never missed a publishing. We also have one of our sanitation companies that was awarded $820,000. And I'm scratching my head. Did their people stop taking trash service? How were they adversely affected? I want to make sure that we are helping businesses that were adversely affected. And I want to stay to that tune, because again, I was just blown away with the Daily Courier getting those and then applying for ARPA funds on top of them. I mean, you know, it sounds like this is just a cash cow that everybody's hooked the milking machine up to. And it's at the end of the day, it's taxpayers' money, and I want to be adamant that these companies were adversely affected.
Thank you, Commissioner. Shall I answer that question?
Yeah, I just want to recognize, Sandy, I saw your hand, and Tracer Fowler, I saw your hand. So
we appreciate that concern, Commissioner Bearsugar. All PPP loans have to be repaid unless there is some sort of agreement within the bank. I want to clarify here that since you referenced the Daily Courier, they did not apply for this round of funding. They did apply for a previous round of funding, which was not ARPA funds. That was a different pot of money. The businesses also have to certify in their application process that they have been adversely impacted by COVID. In the previous rounds, they also had there was a priority ranking in which if they were mandated closed, they were high priority, others were not. So there's the certification process. They have to also demonstrate with their financials a decrease in revenues. And so in some cases, those who did have PPP loans could not do that. They applied, but there is a process by which we went through to really vet those out on your behalf to be sure that these truly were businesses in need. And then all the PPP-related expenses, staff out of office, that sort of thing, those are things also that come into, I'm just reading your note on that. Again, they have to be adversely impacted by COVID.
It's interesting, and I'm also amazed how many of the PPP loans are forgiven. You can track that, too. It's on the website. So I'm going to say a good share of the PPP loans are going to be forgiven, because you'll see they're either forgiven or pending. So it's just like everything in this world. That greed drives everybody. There's no question about it, and to any degree, and we've just got to be careful that we are helping people that really were adversely affected. I don't think Safeway or Fred Meyer's or Home Depot, maybe I shouldn't be saying those names, I don't know. For some reason, I just, my casual observance, they weren't adversely affected. So I hope we don't get them on our list. But I think restaurants, hotels, those kind of things, by my observation, were. So I want to make sure that we are helping the people that really were, and just not people that know how to fill out the forms right.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'll add here, too, that in this particular round, you did ask us to put more emphasis on the smaller businesses. So you'll see that there's a larger number of sole proprietors that received excellent assistance through the IDCEO. That was the focus. So you'll see that play out in how the scenario C was calculated for you. So again, they do, all businesses have to certify that they're telling us the truth. Now, some are going to slip through the cracks, probably. But also those financials that we're asking, that Ken and ABM so accurately and done a really great job of looking at those, that tells us the story. Was there a decrease or not? So,
and you know, one thing to add to tracking, this is just for common knowledge, for tracking PPP loans, you can also go online and there's a questionnaire. If you have trouble with a company you don't believe needed to have the PPP loans, you can fill out their questionnaires and comments and send it to the SBA. So if you feel that somebody has falsified information or your observance, so they do have the tattletale pages, I call them, and you can look at that at trackingppploans.com.
Okay. Colleen, I think you've answered. Next up is hand up Commissioner Fowler, and then we'll move to Director Nova.
Okay, the commissioner has asked the task force to try and help businesses that have not received aid before or have received very little aid before and have missed a couple rounds. So that's why this is aimed so hard at the small businesses. That's why there was 59 businesses with 79 full-time employees being the majority of the applicants. And so we were trying to get help sooner out and look at the possibility of that. So when you see these totals on the right, it does not include what I think to do, which is ask the city of Cave Junction and ask the city of Grants Pass to join us in helping these businesses. 84% of the businesses were inside the city limits of Grants Pass. But we also know that that's where most of the businesses in our county are. That's where most of the people do their shopping. And so we want to help, but I don't think we necessarily have to do it at 100%. I think we can ask the city of Grants Pass to participate, and we can ask the city of Cave Junction, even in a small way, to participate, because their funding was pretty low. And so whether we want to decide today to keep this thing, the fast-moving help that we asked for a couple months ago, to keep moving. And we put windows on it. We put, here's the window of application, and here's the window of award. And so if we don't decide to do the award, we have to let everybody know that that's been extended or that it's been dropped. And this was some hard work done by SoReady and Ivy Can Do. But I don't think we're on the hook for the whole amount, whether we choose A, B, or C. We should be asking the two cities to contribute as well.
Sandy?
We did, both cities were in the room when we had that initial conversation, and were asked, but they knew that it did not have any dollar amount to it yet. We did not come up with the dollar amount until yesterday. So whether or not they're going to, the contract that we did and how we set up the contract with SoReady was that this is the timelines. And I know it feels today like it's painting you into a corner, but the timeline of getting the awards out and when they got them to us, because they got them to us on Tuesday, Wednesday, the task force discussed them, and today we're discussing them here. So
I've got a comment, and first off, Colleen, you know, I've got great respect for you and your organization. Over the years, I've just watched you work and your organization in their top drawer. As far as I'm concerned, I think mistakes, like the PPE thing that Commissioner Bertrager says, you know, it's just, I'll just use an example. I mean, he brought up the Daily Courier. The Daily Courier, and their, one of their newspapers said that their circulation was 10,292 in 19, and that's on record, and then their circulation in 20 was 10,219, which said they lost no circulation due to COVID in 2020. So I think that's water under the bridge, but it certainly it does have some worth in mentioning, so that you know that this information is available, and if that one slipped through the cracks, maybe we can chink that crack up and it never happens again. It was at best. I question why somebody, why an organization would apply if they didn't really need it. And I agree with Commissioner Fowler. The task force followed right along with what our recommendation was, and to SoReady to pick out and maybe lean more towards a little guy that was absolutely missed with everything else. These people that are on your list right now are not the ones that abused the earlier programs. That's what I can say with confidence, okay? And with that, I'm torn between two and, or B and C, or two and three, whatever it is. I don't have that in front of me. It wasn't in my packet, so it came in late, and I don't have it here. But I did see it on the screen, and so I don't want to hold back any longer. As for the city's participation, both Cape Junction and the city of Grants Pass, I would urge them to look into their heart of hearts, because a lot of their applications come from those two areas. A city of Cape Junction, you know, doggone it, they're out on a wing and a prayer out there. We try to help them in any way we can. Right now, Josephine County is willing to bear the brunt of this, but we're asking for a city of Grants Pass, which gets a pretty good sized sum of money also, if they would contribute partial to this, because as Commissioner Fowler said and Colleen said, a good portion of the businesses are done in the city of Grants Pass, and but we recognize, which sometimes the city of Grants Pass doesn't recognize, that the city of Grants Pass is part of Josephine County and part of our jurisdiction. City of Cape Junction is under our jurisdiction. They're their own incorporated cities, have their own governing body, just like the library district and everything else. But we feel that they're both a very integral part of Josephine County. And we want them to recognize that, I guess. And when we come up with this, that, you know, maybe voluntarily say, you know what, city council, you know what, we're going to put in X number of thousands of dollars, so maybe this second go-around can maybe, if there is another go-around, or we can maybe help some of the people that were dropped off in maybe a secondary round of awards. We are not looking at that right now, but let's see what we can come up with, okay? So, I think I would entertain a motion. Let's talk to Commissioner Bertrand and Commissioner Fowler. I'll wait for your comments, and then we'll see if we have a motion.
Right. Based on this conversation and based on the conversation with ARPA yesterday, I want to make an off-the-cuff suggestion, and I'm not sure how well it'll be received, but I say we do Scenario C at 50%, and then businesses get some help, and see if Grants Pass and Cave Junction want to pick up any more of that percentage. And then we've got an action item for our contractor to do the work. And we are getting money out to businesses as we promised on the timeline when it was originally scheduled. So that's just an off-the-cuff suggestion to try and keep this moving. I think taking $1 million out of the $17 million this early in the process also makes us a little cautious, because we haven't seen how much broadband's going to cost, or we haven't seen how much some of the bigger asks from the county are. There's a suggestion.
I do concur with Commissioner Fowler, and this is the first round, but I do ask that we really monitor this to see how it's really working. I think that's really important, so we can move forward with, dispersing the other monies. It's $1 million. You know, let's see if it really does help these businesses. I guess the proof's in the pudding. And that's what we gotta have a way of measuring that, Colleen. Do we have a way of measuring that?
Measuring how the company is doing?
Yeah, after we give them the money, is there any way of measuring that?
My one concern is that some of these are pretty small amounts for those small companies. And, they may still falter, about the full amount. We could talk about that with staff and with IDCO and reach back out to the businesses and see how they're doing. Certainly, it's just a matter of giving time to that.
So what's your recommendation out of the three? Let's have the recommendation from you and recommendation from Sandy out of those three choices.
My recommendation, given the ARPA rated committee recommended C, is to go with that. I don't and do it fully, because I think your goal was to get money out to some of these businesses that are really hurting right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how it works necessarily on your end, but perhaps with the next round, or you can go ahead and do this and then work out an arrangement with Grants Pass and Cave Junction to help you with additional rounds or even now, but we have put a lot of work into this as Kenny, and it'd be good to get the money out to them in full if that is still an option for you. That's just my thought, is to get it out and not have any further delay.
Do we have the ability for them to respond with a comment on how this is working, how this is helping them, or how it wasn't enough? Can we ask for those inputs from those companies?
Yes. Can
we
respond?
Yes, we certainly can. It will be optional, but we can certainly send it to all recipients. And
I think that will be helpful. And I'm always hesitant about doing something that I can't measure the results. I'm sorry. I just am.
So you can notice in the different scenarios that there is not a drop-off in the number of businesses from scenario to scenario. And the reason is, if that award would have made them the pandemic profitable, then they would have dropped off. Does that make sense?
Okay. I see what you're saying there. I'm gonna just weigh in. I agree with Colleen. When I was in business, it would be akin to a company owing me $100,000, and I'm counting on them paying by the 15th or paying by the 10th $100,000, and then they arbitrarily say, well, you know, we're not sure how you're going to spend that, so we're only going to send you $65,000 or $75,000, and then we'll see how you do that, and then we'll turn around and maybe give you this $100,000. If we, Commissioner Fowler hit on it a little bit, I kind of agree with his premise there of partial payment and impartial payment, but then again, if I was on the receiving end of it, and I'm anticipating that on such and such a date, this is what I'm going to get. I think my anticipation and my expectation is to get that, not have somebody up above start playing with it, you know, and in an effort to try to justify it, when I think the ARPA committee has justified, and so Ready has screened these people and vetted the different companies and touched all the bases and tapped all the keys. And that I am comfortable with going with item number 3 or C, right? Like I said, it's not in front of me yet. And I would say let's march ahead on it and get this money out there as soon as possible, because some of these companies I know, you know, they wouldn't have applied if they didn't need it. And these are not the larger people that you have mentioned earlier in your presentation, Commissioner Mayor Trigger, on the PPE. This is a whole different deal. This has been highly vetted by SoReady, and I trust their judgment. And I think that the ARPA committee, you know, I haven't seen the rest of the recommendation, but for the small business, I'm going to march this one out of here, out of the door, almost immediately, which means that I would entertain a motion to approve the intent to award with item number C or 3, the third one down. Commissioner Powell.
I would make a motion that we accept scenario C, the third one, and that we talk to the city of Grants Pass and the city of Cave Junction about paying some of their fair share.
Yeah.
On how much they got and how much we got. And so that's my motion.
Go ahead, Commissioner Venture, do you second that?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Okay, 8 seconds. Under discussion, I agree wholeheartedly with Commissioner Fowler, and we need to let those businesses know that right now it is the county that's taking this on out of their portion of the funds. And we're not, I don't want it to come out that all three entities got in on this and helped out. It was just the county right now is the ones that received the funds. And we received out of our share, we're going to make this happen ASAP. We voluntarily stepped up like we're supposed to be as leaders. We stepped up and made this happen out of our funds. We hired SoReady. We got this thing going. SoReady was working for us the whole time, and we have no problem doing that. None. It wasn't a question of if we should. It's a question of let's get it done. How soon can we get it done? And that's the county standpoint. And also Colleen and her company. They rose to the occasion. This is record time. I think we hit everything that we're supposed to hit. And I'm in favor. With that, please call the roll.
Commissioner Feller?
Yes.
Commissioner Merchiger?
Yes.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. See, let's make that happen, ladies and gentlemen. Let's make it happen. And also, let's start leaning on our partners across the parking lot if they happen to be listening in.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you very much. Okay. Moving down. Do you have anything else on the finance report and business update? I don't think so, because it's not listed on the agenda.
I do. Last week we talked about essential worker pay. We had a conversation about that, took that back to the task force, and they were not inclined to include it in their suite. However, the commissioners can take that application outside of the task force if you choose to and make that decision to move forward.
Yeah.
And you're talking about the janitorial back pay for hazardous duty. What was the total amount of that, do you recall?
34,000.
How many?
34.
34. So do the commissioners want to consider that? It jumps around the task force, but it's our job to decide.
Yes, I do definitely want to consider that. I'm embarrassed to think that the task force would not recognize somebody that can't work from home when most of them did work from home. the janitorial service in this building and all county buildings cannot work from home. They have to be right there. And they, after hours, came around and were exposed and cleaned up. All the people that came in and used the restroom, used the handrails, sat in the chairs out the hallways, and they came by and sanitized that every night. Every night. They were exposed, and yet it's just kind of a silent service that you never hear about, and I'm all for it. If I was one of the people in the janitorial team that we have here, and you see how shiny the floors are and how clean everything is here every morning. I've been to some of the stores here locally, and that's the part that really surprises me, is the cleanliness, the lack of cleanliness in the stores after all day worth of business. It's not going to happen, not happening in some of the stores. But here, it's stellar and epic every night. And 34,000 out of 18 million, and we couldn't find it in our hearts to approve that. That just absolutely boggles my mind. And it really, really sets something aside for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and the commissioners decided 6 months ago that we would not include the janitorial service in hazardous pay when J.J. Schofield, our HR director, brought it to us. We said no. So we said no once. And the COVID has been driven over the last year to be only aerosol-based. It doesn't transfer on paper or desks or doorknobs. And so the reason I'm for this is because the governor included janitorial staff in the latest you-have-to-be-vaccine group. So the health department has had a change of heart, apparently, and put them in with the hazardous folks, which then I'm on board. And so you can count me in as well.
Commissioner Bear-Trigger?
No, I'm fine.
Okay, thank you.
Do
so we'll take
that action today under other, Mr. Chair, and get this done?
I think we'll do that under the other side of it. Thank you, Commissioner Fowler, okay, for that suggestion.
We're
writing that down so I don't forget it.
Maybe we should put it on next Tuesday so people know what's coming and they can comment on it or let us know.
Okay. Let's move it to Tuesday.
Yeah.
Ryan Johnson is on board. Is that Ryan? What do you think of that? Tuesday, okay?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay,
thank you. It's moving forward.
Thank you very much. Okay, with that, and we will do that. Okay, we've got our business release, we've got all that. Okay, with that, we're going to go into executive session. Today is Thursday, September 9th, 2021, at 10:12 a.m. Gilstein County Board of Commissioners will now be in an executive session for the following agenda item. Item 3A is collective bargaining with ASHME, or S192.6602D. And group representatives of news media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the audience are asked to leave the room. Approved representatives of news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about these subjects during the executive sessions, except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decision may be made at executive session. The end of the executive session, we will return to open session and welcome the audience back into the room. The recorder will now be turned off at 10:13 a.m. Okay, good morning, everyone. Once again, we're back from executive session, and we're back in general session at 10:28 a.m. The subject of the executive session is the collective bargaining with ASHME, or S192.6602D. And we got a progress report from HR Director J.J. Schofield. Our direction back to him is to continue discussing options with ASHME and get back to us with their final determination. So we just gave him permission to go ahead and continue on with the direction he's going. So that's where we're at right now. Any other items under other? I think we had, we wanted to entertain a motion, to approve, relief for the, hazardous pay, but I guess exposure pay or whatever it is for our janitorial service. And I'll entertain a motion to include them in the ARPA.
Yep, I'll make that motion that we include the hazardous pay for the janitorial staff as requested to the ARPA task force, somewhere in the neighborhood of $34,000.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Any further comment? I appreciate your consideration, gentlemen. This means an awful lot to a group of individuals that I think gets overlooked an awful lot. I appreciate everything they do. And a lot of times they get taken for granted. I remember when I was in school, Wally Friend was a janitor at the high school, custodian. And man, what that guy could do. It was amazing what, you know, him and his team got done behind the scenes after hours. I also had an opportunity at one time to work with a custodian at one of the restaurants here when I was doing some after hours work. I had up there, we'd sit out and have a snack and a cup of coffee at 2 o'clock in the morning, and the insight that gentleman had, had a really, really, his name was Don, never did catch his last name, but I'll tell you what, he had a hell of an impact on my life going forward and the way I treated business from those days forward. So, it means a lot to me, and I thank both commissioners for climbing on board. So with that, I have a motion and a second and comment. Please call the roll.
Commissioner Heller?
Yes.
Commissioner Beerchinger?
Yes.
Commissioner Young?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. Anything under matters from commissioners for today's session?
Just real quick, I sent you guys both an email, one from LA Times and one from Blumenthal, talking about public restrooms, who has eclipsed all of the previous iterations of trying to give a public restroom. So if you get a chance, please check it.
Thank you. Commissioner Richard, anything further?
No, I'm fine.
Seeing nothing to further, we will be adjourned at 10:31. Thank you.
Record.
I think I'm deaf after listening to Dan for that long.